Yeah, I'm reading an interesting book right now. I'm not finished with it, but it's called The Darwin Economy.
Okay.
Have you heard about this theory? It's sort of that the author is basically saying, well, actually, rather than looking at Adam Smith as kind of the best idea in economic theory, let's look at Charles Darwin. And what he cites is when unbridled competition or unregulated competition actually does not produce the best goods. Like the Adam Smith theory is that, well, you've got, if you have, anybody competing to sell you economic goods or whatever, you will end up with the best deal overall, and it will be the best for everybody. And the Darwin examples are, well, what about basically when you get into situations like an arms race where you have unregulated competition, but the overall result is worse for everybody than if you didn't have the arms race. And it's an interesting book, and I'm not even a quarter of the way through it yet, but at least the idea has gotten me thinking, and it's sort of an interesting take on things.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe you can explain it to me again, so, or explain it a little
Okay,
further. Like,
so
so.
the simple example is using evolution as sort of, or Darwin's theory of natural selection as an example. Peacocks develop these bigger and brighter feather combinations, on their backs to attract mates, and they are technically in unregulated competition with one another about just whoever gets more and more feathers on their backs will attract more mates. But but the more of those feathers they get, the more attractive they are to predators also. And so they're more preyed upon. And so if all the peacocks had like whatever feather plumes 50% the size of what they are right now, it would be better for all the peacocks. And the sort of competition between the peacocks would still result at the same level. Like whoever's got the best one would still have the best one, it's just 50% smaller. And so he would still get the same mates and that sort of thing. But they would all be safer from predators because they can't escape with their huge tail
Interesting.
feathers or whatever. And so that he compares that to sort of, well, you've got a nuclear arms race between superpowers, and you keep building bigger and bigger weapons, bigger and bigger weapons, and until your end result is you have a potential for world annihilation, either via a national actor or a terrorist or whatever, and that's worse for everybody
Yeah.
than if you didn't have that unregulated competition. And so then you the it's a bit more of a struggle to apply it to something like a sort of simple, supply and demand in whatever in your clothing retailer or something like that. But you can see that the idea is actually sort of undermines that initial Adam Smith assumption
Yeah.
of his model that unregulated competition results in the best result.
But I guess, like, does anybody really think that the unbridled competition re and results in the end result, the best result? Because I mean, I think we've seen that. Like, it ends up in a monopoly or something like that, right? Which, it's like it
Well, actually,
starts
but
out.
there are laws breaking up monopolies, and they cite the need for competition as
Yeah.
their reason to
It's
break up
ironic
monopolies.
that, like, competition leads to no competition.
No. No.
So, I mean, I think therein lies sort of like this paradox, right? And yeah, I mean, in the end, you do need some sort of regulation, and we all need to agree on this sort of like cap or limiting of something like that. And then you kind of like, you're right, like instead of going bigger, 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 you kind of take a left turn or a right turn, you find some sort of other differentiating factor that doesn't like, squash off all of us together somehow, right? I mean, it's almost as if like we all just agreed that we would not manufacture outside of the United States. Maybe the prices would be higher, but then they would find better ways to differentiate themselves, right? But it seems like probably the first 100 companies that went to China or Mexico or wherever were just looking for cheaper workers.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, well, now we all need to go somewhere else to find cheaper workers. Yeah. And now that we're all there and that all the manufacturing jobs are gone for the United States, we need to find something else to differentiate ourselves. Mm-hmm. Right. Whereas it could have been maybe, again, I'm not economics. I haven't really studied this, but I'm just kind of trying to likening it to what you're saying. Just find something that we can agree on and like, okay, this is not necessarily optimal, like it, what you would think is optimal from your gut reaction, but if we went optimal, then we would end up in this place.
Right.
That's no good. Right. And, you know.
Well, and you know what it comes back to? I think the most reoccurring theme in the Irregular Search for Truth is the tragedy of the commons.
Right.
And it comes back to that. It's like everybody going out for their own best interest
right.
results in the worst, or not necessarily the worst, but a bad situation for right. everybody overall.
Because right. one person ruins it and everybody else has got to stoop their level.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny also, like, have you ever played basketball and you play against somebody who's just not good? Like, if you play, like, we used to play pickup games and, like, you know, sometimes you would play with somebody who just wasn't very good or, like, a team that wasn't very coordinated. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you'll play against, you'll have a team over here that's, like, really, really good, and this team over here is not very good at all. But that, the play just devolves mm-hmm. to the bad team's level, right? Like, maybe this one team, which is, like, really, like, you know, we'll just call them the Knicks, and the other team is... I'm trying to. I don't really follow basketball. A bad team would be the Trailblazers because I feel like they don't exist anymore. And it's like, you know, the Knicks are really good at passing and like doing all sorts of like coordinated offense and like they'll do like picks and they'll do like you know all sorts of things like that. But yeah, that whereas Trailblazers just like run for the ball. So it's like they'll just you know like jungle ball or whatever. And it's like it just eventually just evolves to jungle ball because you can't maintain like a structured offense. You can't maintain a structured defense and like passing and maneuvering and all this stuff when the other person's just running at you. Mm-hmm. There's got to be these rules of engagement, I guess, right? To get this next level of interaction.
Yeah.
Anyway. So yeah, end of the year. So yeah, I don't know.
Christmas, your review?
Positive.
I'm for Christmas.
Are you?
Yeah.
How so for Christmas?
Like, I'm not a religious person.
Okay.
But I really like Christmas. It's a good holiday. Brings people together. People tend to be, you know, friendlier.
What's your take on the war on Christmas?
War on Christmas, yeah. I'm for it.
You're for Christmas, and yet you're for the war on Christmas.
Well, yeah, you gotta be. I mean, like, this is competition produces the best results, right?
Bro, so you're looking for the best Christmas.
Yeah.
If Christmas didn't have an enemy.
Or if, I mean, you'll say whatever replaces Christmas, if the war on Christmas wins, then that'll be better.
It's better.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, do you view, like, Kwanzaa and, like, Hanukkah as competitors to Christmas?
They're huge competitors to Christmas.
I mean, these guys are basically the foot soldiers in the war on Christmas. And it's up to us as Christmas supporters to, like, thwart any sort of, like, thing that comes in eights.
Oh, interesting.
Oh. Or anything that, like, you know... I don't know anything about Kwanzaa, but, like, you know, it gets brightly colored. Or what, I don't know.
That was bad. Hate mail can be sent to irregularsearchfortruth@gmail.com.
Yeah, I mean, Christmas is good. I think, like, you know, I think any sort of occasion at the end of the year, I mean, I think we all know that it's not a coincidence that it happens very close to the winter solstice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not a coincidence that it happens at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, not, like... It's a coincidence nowadays because it's been going on for 2,000 years. But, I mean, I think, like, we all know that he wasn't really born in December.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, like, just getting together with family, getting gifts, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Though I did kind of, you know, I kind of, oh, geez, I just remembered I bought my brother and sister-in-law a gift yet. They're coming into town now.
Do you want let's look at my desk here. How about
hey, stereo microphones.
Blistex, maybe? Some Walgreens lip balm?
But I kind of, like, missed out on the build-up to Christmas, and part of it is that I don't have a TV.
Ah.
And, but also, I was really busy with, like, my final exams and stuff right up to it. And I just sort of forgot about it. And so when the Christmas sort of season, it arrived to me, it was only, like, a day before Christmas.
Ugh.
And I went to one shopping mall. No, I went to two, I guess. But they were a little
crazy. Oh, you were one of those guys.
They were a little crazy. And but it was fine.
It's funny. Actually, I went to go visit my in-laws for Christmas. And I think we got there on the 23rd or the 24th. and we went out to dinner. We went to Chili's.
Nice.
But on the way, we drove by a, it was in a strip mall, so we drove by a Toys R Us.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like really crazy. And I was like, oh, we should just go to Toys R Us and walk around. Because like we all have our shopping done. But I just like, you know, the worst part is having to go to a store and have to buy something.
Yeah.
But like to have to get to go to Toys R Us and just look around and see the craziness and like, all the holiday whatever, but not actually have to deal with the lines or whatever, that can be kind of fun.
Yeah.
But we didn't do it.
The what I find, I guess, like the hardest thing is if you haven't put thought into gifts beforehand.
Yeah.
Like I would rather not get gifts then.
Yeah.
I think it would be better just to be like, I mean, I guess, you know, sometimes a token present is fine. Like, here's a, you know, a pair of socks. Like,
yeah, all right, yeah,
cool, socks. Those are always useful. But I don't want just stuff for the sake of stuff.
But that's, you know? I mean, that's the real big challenge. So, like, getting a thoughtful gift for, you know, more than two people or three people, it's just like, that is just consuming. You know, it's like, you have to think about it a long time.
Well, yeah.
You know, and it's like, your brother, like, you know, you guys don't talk that often, do you? I mean, how often, I mean, is it really easy to get him a thoughtful gift that he might not already have or whatever, you know?
No,
I mean,
no, he's probably just going to get, like, stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Though, you know, like, useful stuff is always better.
Of course, like, socks are better than, like, a trinket or something like
that. Yeah, definitely. Which is, like, the exact opposite of when you're a little kid. If you get socks when you're a little kid, you're like, socks! What?
No, but when you're a kid, like a toy, you know, is like always a good, because your parents know exactly what toys you have. At least they should, right? Because they bought them for you or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like you have a list, like I want this stuff, and you think it comes from Santa, so there's a little magic to it.
Right.
But
I forgot about the Christmas list.
Oh, right. But it's like, but nowadays, if you give somebody a list, it's just more like a list of demands. Right. And it's not that, but like usually you could just buy it yourself. So it's like, as a kid, you can't go out and buy a race car set or whatever it is.
Right.
You know? It's like, hey, you don't have any money, right? But if it isn't for the gifts, what makes Christmas?
Well, I think it's like sort of you get, you know, a bunch of people together and you sort of sit around in like a cozy environment and you eat good food and I don't know, there's sort of a warmth to it.
How's it different than Thanksgiving?
It's sometimes different people.
Because sometimes it's not. And it's like, in fact, you're like a month apart, and it's pretty much the exact same people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have turkey for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Mm.
I mean, I guess like it's traditional, like a ham is more traditional, but.
We had a roast, a beef roast.
But I mean, like, there's some sort of like central roast. Meat.
Yeah.
Right? And I think, like, it's not unusual for it to be a turkey.
Mm.
But I guess the difference maybe is like now there's a tree. In your living room?
Yes, yeah.
And there might be some, like, you know, eggnog and some... I guess instead of there being cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, and a pumpkin pie, there is eggnog, candy canes, and... what is a traditional Christmas food?
I don't know. Sweet potatoes?
Sweet potatoes. That's very Thanksgiving-ish.
Oh, damn.
Gingerbread. But it's just like, I just wonder, without the presents, is Christmas Christmas? And I think it is. I just wonder why.
Well, I mean, for most people, it's the birth of Jesus.
Well, those are the foot soldiers in the war.
That's right.
What about us on the fringes looking for the competition? What is Christmas offer to me?
I'd like to say that I am firmly on the side of Christmas war on Christmas.
Well, what about eight presents? You know, what about eight different presents? I mean, what about that? That sounds pretty awesome.
That sounds cool, but then that's also, you know, eight different possibilities for getting crappy trinkets.
Whoa.
Like, and if you don't want that, it's like, just give me eight pairs of socks.
What, so point Christmas or what? I mean, latkes, you know, dreidel.
Oh, latkes.
Latkes.
I heard luckies.
I said luckies, but latkes is what I said, but latkes, whatever.
Anywho. Yeah, I'd give Christmas a 10.
A 10? I'm gonna give it a 7.
Oh wow, below 7.5.
Only 7.5. 7.5. We'll get 7.5 because it's like, I think Christmas is for kids.
Okay. So are tricks.
Tricks. Tricks are for kids. If you're an adult, you're eating tricks. You know, it's not like the rabbit should be judgmental and take it away from you. It's you should just re-examine your life. Tricks, really?
For kids. That's a new ad campaign for Tricks. It's not going to really work.
What?
You have like an adult, you have like an old man, you know, eating a bowl of Tricks, and someone comes in and is like, Tricks? Really?
Maybe the rabbit. Like, I could see you're in college. You know, that's what I did. Mm-hmm. When I got to college, it was like Lucky Charms, like, every week. Like, I had the sense not to have it for every meal or for every breakfast. Uh-huh. But I would have, like, Honey Nut Cheerios, Tricks.
Wow.
You know, Honey Nut Cheerios, Tricks. Maybe I'd throw in some O's. Mm-mm. You know, or some, like, I think I tried all the cereals because I think... when I was a kid, hey, like
freedom,
yeah, right. It's choose. Like I'm gonna get whatever I want. So I would get like Tricks, and I would get like Cocoa Puffs or Cocoa Krispies.
I never liked the Cocoa cereal.
Well, I mean, I didn't either, but I did it once. Just be like, oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. Now I know.
But Lucky Charms, I still did that like once a week. That was really good. But now I would not have Lucky Charms. Maybe I would have it once a year.
Yeah,
you know, at somebody else's house because I don't have to buy the box.
Right.
You know, but it's like, beyond that, no thanks.
Yeah, they're a little sweet.
They're a lot sweet, yeah. And it's like, they're not really marshmallows.
No, they're something, though.
So, yeah.
Hoof.
Tricks, really?